There are more questions than answers. This was the title of a song by singer and songwriter Johnny Cash. I've asked the question time and time again, why is there so little a moment? Oh, what is life and how do we live? What should we take and how much should we give? There are more questions than answers. In the daily course of your routine, every day you will ask upwards of 30 questions. Did you walk the dog? What's the weather outside like? Anybody know what time it is? Did you remember to put out the trash? Do you think I look fat in an owl? How come my cable isn't working? Do you think the Seahawks will make the playoffs? Playoffs? Mom, can I go to Beth's house after school? Anybody want to get a cup of coffee after worship this morning? Did you see the front page of the Times today? How much should I tip? Does anybody know how to work this computer? And now I'm serious. Has anyone seen my glasses? My car keys? My coffee cup? There are questions, and then there are eternal questions. Eternal questions are the questions that have been asked by every generation since time immemorial. Here is a list of just a few of the eternal questions. What's for supper? Who's on first? How much is that doggy in the window? Is there a God? And if there is a God, where is God? Is that all there is? Actually, no. There's one more. The one eternal question that is considered the eternal question. It has been asked by every person every day since Adam and Eve. You asked it this morning. Here it is. What am I going to wear today? That is the eternal question. What is it I'm going to wear today? What am I going to wear today finds its way into our scripture readings this morning. You have in front of you a printed copy of the reading from Baruch. You may not be familiar with this book of scripture. It appears in the Apocrypha, the books of the Bible between the Old and the New Testament. It is just as important as the Gospel of Matthew or Mark or Luke. In fact, those of you who have ever taken a Bible study with me, you've heard me say to you over and over again, how do you expect to understand anything in the New Testament unless you have read the Apocrypha? Baruch. Baruch was Jeremiah's friend and also his scribe. In other words, what word for windows is for us, Baruch was for Jeremiah. He wrote down everything. He spell checked it. He got out the thesaurus. He edited it. And there is a letter of his in the Apocrypha that was sent to the people back in Jerusalem. You are familiar with the Babylonian exile, how the Babylonians swooped into Jerusalem. They took all of the very best. They took the educated. They took the craftspeople. They took the financial people. They left behind the widows, the orphans, and the priests. They had no reason for priests. But Baruch wrote a letter, he and Jeremiah together. He wrote a letter to those people back there in Jerusalem, mourning and full of sorrow. And you have the last part of that letter. It's a poem. It's a love poem, really, in front of you, in which Baruch says, Throw off the garments of your affliction and sorrow and put on the everlasting crown of God. Because one day we're going to come back and we're going to be dressed in God's holiness and righteousness. Baruch takes the eternal question, what am I going to wear today, and changes it to, who am I going to wear today? And I'm being purposeful about the who. not the whom. Who am I going to wear today? When you stop and think about it, everybody here is wearing somebody's who. Already the streets of Seattle, especially down by the stadium district, are full of people wearing Seahawk blue. They're wearing somebody's jersey with a name on it. Their favorite player, Russell Wilson. Maybe. Some people don't even have a player's name on it. They just have the number 12. Because anybody who is a Seahawks fan will tell you that the number 12 stands for the 12th man. Sports fans aren't the only ones to wear someone. Who are you wearing today? Ralph Lauren? Calvin Klein, Victoria's Secret, don't tell me that one, don't. Ann Taylor, Martha Stewart, Prada, Vera Wang. Anybody got on Jesus Christ? Oh, I see a whole lot of you wearing Jesus Christ. In the season of Advent, when we are expecting the coming of our Lord again, is it unrealistic to think that his fans, or maybe more accurately, his followers, wouldn't want to wear his jersey, wouldn't want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because spiritual people have from the beginning worn their faith by wearing clothes that would tell you exactly what the circumstances of their faith was and what their posture toward God was. One of my favorite writers, Patricia Sanchez, in the December issue of the Journal Celebration, she says that in the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the Israelites wore the fashionable nomadic look, long robes with head coverings to protect them from the elements. In Egypt, they wore the clothes of slaves. And when they were liberated and settled into the promised land, they outfitted themselves in wedding dresses. For after all, they were God's beloved bride and God, Yahweh, was their husband. But then the marriage went sour and the Israelites decided to play the harlot. And so they dressed differently, according to their urges to follow after those sexy gods, those false gods and idols. But God was willing to forgive and forget. God took them back and clothed them with holiness and love. And such was the situation that Baruch wanted to address. Throw off the garments of sorrow and affliction and throw on the holiness and the righteousness and the everlasting crown of God. The Israelites were not the only ones to change their spiritual wardrobe. The Apostle St. Paul, the author of our second reading, his letter to the Philippians, he traded in his Pharisaical robes for the baptismal gown of grace. Although in today's reading, Paul is fashionably dressed in a stylish prison orange jumpsuit. Imprisoned for his witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, he writes to the faithful in Philippi, keep the faith, the hope, and love. Wear the baptismal gown of grace, the one that makes you blameless and righteous in God's eyes, so that when God comes again in Christ, you will be found wearing the proper attire, the baptismal gown of grace. Like the Apostle Paul, we also have been given that baptismal gown of grace. The baptismal grace, of course, is a gown that none of us can fit into. It is a one-size-fits-all, and it's huge, it's immense, and we can never even comprehend, much less manage, the amount of grace that God has given to us to wear. And in fact, that gown is so long that we spend our entire lives stumbling and tripping over that grace. Grace upon grace. You could even say the gown is so large that we are literally drowning in it. God literally challenges us to see whether or not we can use up that gown of grace, to show others who we are wearing. We have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, his mercy, his compassion, his love, his justice, his peace, his forgiveness. You could say that we are all very fashionably Christ attired. What we show to the world isn't some sparkling, gleaming white gown of purity and love, no. What we show to the world has a lot more in common with Paul's prison orange jumpsuit. Our baptismal gowns are ragged and torn, stained and soiled with our sin of faithlessness. And yet, that gown of baptismal grace will never be taken from you. Like the coat of many colors and the robe that the Father put on the prodigal son, it is the gift of grace that remains with you forever. And God is challenging us every day to grow into that grace, to grow into it by giving it away to others. We are a people who are dressed for success, but it is the success that comes through the weakness, the surrendering of our will to God's will through the cross of Jesus Christ. It has been said that clothes make the man, and every woman that gets a new set of clothes has an immediate change in her outlook. So it is when we are clothed with Christ's love and mercy and his compassion and grace. So who will you wear today? Russell Wilson? Calvin Klein? Eddie Johnson? Susan G. Komen Pink? Vera Wang? Or will you say with your words and your works and your wardrobe that you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.